Skype of Cthulhu presents Call of Cthulhu Scenario, Big Sky Country by Jim Phillips. For the benefit of the listeners, Jonathan, can you introduce your character?
Yes, I can. I am playing Dr. Cornelius Henry, commonly known as Doc Henry to the locals. He's a bit of a blue-blooded, he has a bit of a shady past, let's put it that way. He seems out of place in this sleepy Wild West town, but he is a rather well-qualified doctor and has made himself quite useful patching up people. And he unfortunately has a bit of a reputation for indulging in his own pharmaceutical supply.
Nice. What's his trait?
His trait is shady past.
Ah, that works out. No wonder. Okay. Tony, would you introduce your character?
Yes, I am playing Mikko Vainio. He is usually called Mike Wayne. He's a Finnish descendant from Minnesota, and he has just arrived to town, basically. He's a gambler by profession, and he is also cursed, which fits quite well with the fact that he is a gambler.
That's just brilliant. You just couldn't do that if you tried.
No.
Thanks.
No, I couldn't.
And Randall?
Well, I'm in a pie, and I'm a Sioux, and I'm a tracker as well. I'm a friend of the sheriff, you know, helping whenever he needs to get into the mountains or, you know, well, how is Dakota, actually? We're playing Dakota, right, Dean?
Montana.
Montana. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so.
Mountains. Yeah, mountains, we're in the western part of we're kind of in the southwestern part of Montana, and it's fairly mountainous. Yes.
Okay, sounds good then. Okay. And yes, I'm wearing glasses because the good doctor here helped me, you know, to get some. Not that I needed them actually, but
he convinced you that you needed them, and.
Oh, nice. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm actually not Sioux. I'm Shoshone. Yeah,
Shoshone.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's Sioux.
Yes.
The X is silent. It's French.
Yeah, it's pronounced Sioux. Oh. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to back up in the day a little bit in order to bring Dr. Henry and Mr. Vanyo in. I don't think we're going to have to retcon Mr. Wayne. We shouldn't, and I think we won't have to retcon the end of the last session too much, maybe a little tiny bit, but certainly nothing that affects the plot. So again, it is back earlier in Sunday afternoon. I am just going to kind of force Mr. Wayne into the right place. Would you make a roll on your card marking skill, please?
Okay. Oh, just barely missed it.
Okay. So you were spending the afternoon, of course, in one of the saloons in town gambling, and apparently were caught cheating. A fight ensued.
But I never.
See, if you had made it, then I was going to say you had caught someone else cheating at the same time you were trying to cheat. So,
well,
so you were You were caught cheating. A fight broke out. Would you give yourself a D3 loss of hit points?
All right. Let's see here.
It's a good start, Danny.
What was it? D3 or?
Yeah, D3.
Ah, okay. All right.
Okay. So you kind of
less hit points than normally.
Yeah. So you kind of got beat up a little bit. After the fight was over and the dust cleared, you went to see the doctor, Dr. Henry, who is welcome to first aid you if he wishes.
It appears I've had a bit of a scuffle. You might perhaps prescribe for such a situation? So my black eye.
Is he bleeding? Is he
Nah, just some bruises.
Just some bruises. Yeah, I'll haggle a bit. I'll tell him my going rate.
Oh,
ask him to flash some cash.
Right. Well, I'm quite well off, so what is his rate? Is it preposterously outrageous or just outrageous?
It's only mildly outrageous, yes.
Yes, well.
Which I don't know what a good number would be for this era.
Yeah, that's a good question. Ah, well, that sounds a little bit... It sounds like you're trying to bluff up the price a little there, Doc. I'm fairly certain I will be becoming a regular customer of yours from the look of these minor forms.
Well, it's up to you, Mr. Wayne. Do you want that cut to become infected?
Yes, well, I suppose not. I guess you're right there. All right. We'll go with your price for now, see what we can do about it later on.
Let's have a look at first aid. And yes, I succeed by quite a bit on that. Shall I roll the D3?
Go right ahead.
Sure.
Let's do that. And that's 2.
Ah.
Which is rather convenient.
Yes, considering I had 2 hit points lost. Ah, well. That's pretty good.
Hand you a bottle and tell you to apply this lotion twice daily to the affected areas.
Yes, quite so. Well, thank you, doctor.
So just as the doctor hands the snake oil to Mr. Wayne,
shoe polish and urine or
something. Horse shoe polish.
Yeah, no doubt. Just to kind of set the time frame a little bit, this is in the afternoon, so this is around the same time when Sheriff Marsden, Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Mosley are headed up to Big Peak Mine after visiting the Remond Homestead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For those of you who were here last week or last session, and for those of you who listened to it, so all three of those are gone. And Oppy at this point is still up with the with his tribe, so he's not in town either. So anyway, just as you guys are finishing up your transaction there, you can hear something of a commotion out in the street, and a woman's voice calling, "Dr. Henry, somebody get the doctor!"
Ooh, seems to be like I'm needed. I'll look out the window.
And there's a knock at the door, and one of the townswomen pokes her head in. Dr. Henry, come quick.
What's the problem? Do I recognize her?
You've probably seen her around town, but she's not anyone important.
Okay.
It's Mr. Chambers. Well, I think
slow down,
sick.
Slow down. Do I know Mr. Chambers?
You do. He is the he is an older gentleman in his 60s, and he is the town he's the head of the assayer's office in town.
Oh, so a wealthy man. Okay, right. I'll get there straight at once. Okay, let me just get my bag, and I'll pile a few bottles and tools and things and lead the way.
Well, I guess I'll walk with you.
yeah, for no particular reason whatsoever.
Yes. Well, why is
exactly, you know. As you step outside, you can see the assay office is, you know, just kind of down the street. Not too far from your office. And there, you can actually see there's a man laying in the street surrounded by a crowd of people.
Head over and tell people to stand back. And
he doesn't look too good.
Look at him. What's my medical opinion?
Well, your medical opinion is that he does not look too good. It is Mr. Chambers, who, as I said, is the head of the assay office here in town. He's an older gentleman, in his early 60s, you know, white hair, white beard, you know, dressed reasonably well. But he's laying on the ground. It looks like he collapsed. He's you know, just kind of barely, you know, kind of rolling and groaning, and that's about it.
Mr. Chambers, can you hear me?
He just kind of groans at you.
Doesn't sound too good either.
Let's. I'll point to some of the people standing around. Point to a couple, I guess, young men, and say, "Can you help me? Help me with him and take him inside."
As they pick him up, his head kind of flops over and he vomits. And then they're, you know, they're kind of but they manage to carry him into your office.
Is there anything I can do for him?
Yeah. Well, as you are, you know, kind of inspecting him, you notice a couple things. First of all, he looks sick. Obviously, he just vomited. He looks like he's in pain. He also looks like he has a sunburn, like a really bad sunburn.
Okay, that's a bit interesting.
Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. Yep.
And you can see from. You can see that it looks like some of his hair has fallen out. There's like, you know, sheds of hair on his clothing.
Okay. That's not good.
You're welcome to the medicine roll?
Yeah. Yes, I succeed at that as well.
And you have no clue what's wrong with him.
Well, yes. Is there anyone followed who was, well, that young lady, is she still there?
She's around.
I want to interview someone who saw him when he collapsed. So
presumably she's still, you know, hanging around with the crowd out in the street. Yeah.
I'll give Mr. Chambers something for the pain.
He kind of quiets down when you do that.
Yeah. Is he becoming coherent? Can he? Is he able to? No,
he's unconscious.
Did anyone see where he came from?
he stumbled out of his office and collapsed in the street.
Did anyone see him earlier?
Everyone just kind of looks at each other. Not since yesterday, I don't think so. Yeah, I saw him yesterday. You know, people are kind of talking over themselves, but yeah, you get the idea that, you know, no one saw him earlier today.
Right. Does he have a wife, family?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
heart attack, maybe?
No, it doesn't look like that. This is not something I've seen before. Look at this. It looks like he's been burned.
By the sunburn. What's the weather like? Jim.
Oops, sorry, I had mute on again. It's a clear, sunny, warm, you know, warm but not hot, comfortable day.
Yeah, but it's not a sunny as in sunburn.
Correct.
Yeah, how much exposure would I expect? This doesn't make sense with this time of year.
Yeah, you know, if he had been out wandering in the desert for a couple of days, then the sunburn would make sense. But clearly, there's no desert around. There hasn't been that much. You know, it's not that sunny and hot. So, yeah, where this came from?
What do they mine locally?
Mostly gold, some silver.
Mm. Okay. I'm gonna wonder. Do I think he's in any immediate danger? I'll leave him. I'll do whatever I think I can do for him, and then I'm going to wander over to his office to have a look around.
Since you dosed him, he's just kind of resting comfortably. I mean, he's out of it. He's not moaning in pain anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a wander over to his office, see if there's anything I can see.
Okay, it looks like an office. It looks like the assayer's office. You know, there's various. You know, ore samples sitting around, and you know, scales and papers, and it looks like an assayer's office.
Yeah. Is there any notes or any indication of where the samples are from? What he's been up to?
Let's see. Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to, you know, as you kind of scoot around the desk and kind of look through, you can see there's some papers on the, you know, kind of his last few samples that he's assayed mm-hmm. over the past few days. Three of them are, you know, three of them are kind of noted as unremarkable, you know, possible low yield gold ore. There's one or two kind of nice silver samples that he's noted. And then you know, kind of the last one, which looks like the most recent one, he's just marked as unknown.
Hmm. Yeah. Out of character, I'm fairly sure I know what's happened, but in character. Okay.
Yes, out of character, I should point out that Marie Curie was just born 2 years ago, so...
Is there an origin listed for the samples?
You are welcome to make an accounting roll.
Oh dear, that would be base 10 or less. No.
You imagine there probably is, but yeah, you would have no idea how to read all the sheets and notes and tables.
Okay.
To try to find that.
Well, I didn't find any poisons or anything like that, so. I'm a bit stumped at the moment, so I guess I will wander back to my office and see what I can do for my patient.
Okay.
Is Mike still hanging around?
Yeah, I'm still at the
office. Yeah, Mike, is it?
Yes.
Do you wanna earn
some money?
How do
you feel about searching somebody's office for me?
Well, I do earn some money every day, but what are we talking about here?
Mr. Chambers is probably a very wealthy man, but if he dies, we're not likely to see any of it. So we need to find out what's wrong with him. Could you go and find out, see if you can find out some information about what he's been up to?
I guess I could go ask around.
There's a knock at the door.
To the assay office.
Oh, I thought you were back in the doctor's office.
Yeah, that's where I would have gone.
Yeah. There's a knock at the door of your doctor's office.
Oh, busy day today. Yes, come in.
A middle-aged woman comes in. Mm-hmm. You recognize her as being the manager of one of the boarding houses in town.
Okay.
Doctor, can you come over to the house? I think there's a problem with one of my tenants. He's not getting out of bed.
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. Then let's lead the way.
All right. Well, I guess we can talk our options on the way. So I'll follow the doctor again.
From gambler to nurse.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I'd pull out a little uniform from the doctor's bag.
Little hat.
So, this wealth you're talking about, wealth are we talking about here?
Works for the mines, and yeah, there's a lot of money in that.
It is gold, right?
And silver.
Yeah. Oh, I prefer gold.
Well, yeah, we won't be seeing any of it if our patient dies, so...
Well, of course.
And the dead don't generally pay very well.
This is true.
Unless you're in the will.
Yes, well...
So, did you... suspect he found something, or
that is hard to tell. You know, sometimes people will ingest something that causes an adverse reaction. But this seemed to be on the outside, so I don't know. Unless he's been wandering around the desert, but
well, there ain't much desert around here, so
okay. We follow this woman and.
She leads you to her boarding house, which you know you recognize as it's one of the larger boarding houses in town. Mm-hmm. It also is, in a strange non-coincidence, next door to the assayer's office.
Mm-hmm.
And she leads you to one of the ground floor rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Would you both make an idea roll, please?
All right.
I actually botch. No, 95. That's not a botch, is it? That's just a. That's just a fail.
No, that's just a fail, and I also fail.
Okay, never mind then.
Going well today, it seems.
That's unfortunate, but okay. So she leads you to one of the ground floor rooms and kind of opens the door, and she says, it's Mr. Fenner. He's just been lying here groaning all day.
Okay.
And in the room is, in the room, you know, it's a small room, single bed, lying in bed on his side, facing the exterior wall, is Mr. Fenner, is a middle-aged man who's kind of lying and groaning, and there's a bit of mess around him. It looks like he's been throwing up.
I will go and examine him.
Isn't this room right next to where Mr. Chambers works?
Yes, actually. This room would be the closest room in the boarding house to the assayer's office.
I have a sneaking suspicion. Well, let's see what's wrong with him.
Yeah. Does he look like he's been burnt?
He has a bright red burn covering about half of his body. The half that's facing the outside wall. And you can see it looks like he's been shedding hair. There's, you know, hair laying all over the pillow.
Right. I have a feeling that there is something at the office, possibly next to this wall here, or close to this wall.
From just being in that office, what is closest in the office to that wall?
The safe.
Safe.
Okay. Safe, of course.
What was the safe made of?
Metal?
Probably not.
Okay.
Steel, you know. Yeah, just a standard everyday safe. Nothing special about it.
No lead linen on it or anything.
Right. I'm gonna also arrange for some people to move Mr. What's his name? To
Fenner.
My office. Fenner. And then I'm going to go and look for the sheriff.
Strangely, the sheriff is not in town at the moment.
He doesn't have any deputies, does he? Why is that sheriff playing at?
His secretary tells you that the sheriff went out of town to look into some things with a couple others, and he should be back later this evening.
Right. Can you tell him to come and see me as soon as he's back?
I'll leave a note for him.
Okay. Thank you.
Doc, do you think we should take a look in the Mr. Chambers' office and see if there's something there that could have caused this?
Well, depends whether you want all your hair to fall out.
Yeah, I think my hair is quite good where it is. That's a good point. I think
we're going to want people to stay away from there.
This is
very strange. I'm just trying to think. In the time period, they would obviously be used to sort of infectious diseases and quarantining people. So I'm gonna suggest there's something in the doctor's office that might be in the assayer's office that might be making people sick, and therefore we should shut it down and stop people from going in there.
Yeah. Would you make a credit rating roll, please?
I actually have credit rating, and I just make it 44 out of 45.
Oh,
okay. Everyone is, generally willing. You know, we'll stay away from it. You know, a couple of the people in town say, yeah, we'll make sure no one goes near there, Doctor. No problem.
Okay, thank you.
They're very helpful, aren't they?
Well, yes, that's just what I expect. People should always listen to their betters. Anyway, what's the time now? How much?
Late afternoon, early evening. You get the idea. It would be a good time to go check on your patients.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. So I will go and see to them.
That's evil.
Not to try to force things to fit at all, but
Well, the good doctor.
Okay. So Dr. Henry and Mr. Wayne are fussing over the Mr. Chambers and Mr. Fenner. Some time passes.
Ooh, this thing is not infectious from them, is it?
Doc? Oh,
shouldn't we
just say no? I'm sure it's fine. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're the doctor.
Yes, I am.
Time passes. Night falls. You hear, both of you hear a gunshot. A little while later, or, you know, just a couple minutes later, you see Mr. Wilson come in and ask to get on your roof. And Dr. Henry, you kind of direct him up to the roof. He then runs out.
What's going on?
Get on the roof? Whatever for?
There was a shot. I think it might have come from up there.
The two of you, I would presume, follow him out. You see him join up with Mr. Mosley and Sheriff Marsden. At this point, Inape also comes into town, and all three of you see the sheriff's daughter being abducted, and then presumably you kind of run over to where Sheriff Marsden, Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Mosley are standing around looking up at the sky after she's been taken.
Excuse me, abducted by what?
Did I get to make the sand rolls?
Yes, all three of you may make a sand roll.
Okay.
Ooh, that is a fail.
Yeah, I made it.
So including me, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not quite a botch, but it's in the botch territory.
I believe we said that for failing it's a D3.
Okay. And that would be 3. Nice.
And making it this nothing.
I think we just said 1 point.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And so what you actually saw was you saw a black colored kind of ropey tentacle something come out of the night sky, wrap itself around her, and yank her up. And she kind of disappears into the blackness of the sky.
What the bloody hell was that?
Yeah. You're the doctor. You tell me. What the hell? That's like a freaking tentacle thing with wings.
Is the sheriff running off at this point?
The sheriff is leaping on his horse. But the turning to the others and saying, come on, we've got to follow it now.
And you manage to follow it. You can just kind of see a black shape moving against the blackness of the sky to just outside of town, and then you kind of lose sight of it.
Okay, now what?
Sheriff. Well, okay. I guess what I had
there's
to
a
say
couple
is
sick men here. This important. Is far more important.
Yeah. Sheriff, wait. We're gonna want to organize ourselves.
What do you mean organize ourselves? We have three missing girls. One of them's my daughter.
Yes. What's your plan? Are you just gonna?
We know it's got
three missing girls. What?
A farmer's daughter, Frank Roman's daughter, and also one of the Indian girls is also missing.
Well, this might not be the best time to mention this, but something strange is going on in town as well. There's some strange sickness, and I think it might have something to do with a mysterious ore, possibly from one of the mines.
You say one of the mines.
Cherry, I got news from the elders of my tribe. We should discuss.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
Scouts were sent looking for the nesting place of the rock.
Yep.
They are seeing only during the night. During the day is not a good time. So we should wait for the scouts and see what they find.
You want me to
What's
wait?
A rock?
Well, I'd say that thing that we just missed out, saw, that took my daughter is a rock.
It's a spirit.
What?
You don't know the Indian ways, Doctor. The spirits come every 3 generations.
What spirits? What are you talking about, man?
Sheriff, we should also do a ritual if we are going to chase the spirit of the rock and to try to find out what happened to your daughter and the other girl.
What sort of ritual?
We need to clean ourselves before we go after the rock.
Hey, I already had a bath today.
I'm going to reach into my bag and get something out to calm my nerves.
My tribe is leaving the area, so we must hurry. We can go to the elders. They can help us and all the white men that came that will want to join us, Sherry. We must hurry.
I'm with you. I turn to the rest of you guys. Are you coming?
Well, hell, it's more exciting than gambling in this godforsaken place.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But if we're going hunting, you have like a gun, you know, I don't carry any weapons on me as such.
I pull a pistol out and toss you my pistol.
All right, that'll do. Hopefully it won't blow up in my hand.
I've got a rifle and a shotgun still.
How are my patients doing?
Are you going to go back and check on them?
Well, I think I want to have a look.
If you think it's something to do with some ore, we do believe that this has got some connection, that this rock or what's the disappearance has connection to the miners. The person who got shot in my cells, that Mosley was going to be nice and have a nice discussion with just before, was a miner who had some information for us.
So I still don't understand. Why are we going off to do some silly ritual with the Indians?
Did you see what took my daughter?
Well, not really. It was all very confusing. I don't know.
Basically, we started investigating. Earlier today, we found out that an Indian girl had been taken and a farmer's daughter had been also taken. They had been taken from the air. There's no tracks to show of any sign of anybody had picked them up. We spoke with the Indians. We believe it was these rocks, these spirits, rock spirits. We went to speak with the miners. We suddenly got suspicious about some activities with the miners. When we brought back one of the miners to discuss it, to have a discussion with him, somebody shot him so he couldn't talk with us.
Well, and it surely then, wasn't that thing that was flying up in the sky.
No, somebody actually shot him. But then when we stepped out, that thing also then kidnapped my daughter. These things are not, these are things are connected.
So, I mean, some giant eagle thing is kidnapping children, right?
Eagles don't have tentacles.
Well, let me go and get my gun.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Head back to my office, pick up my gun, and possibly give my patients some more sedative.
Okay. Is
your patient actually you?
And I'll powder my nose a little just to prepare myself.
Fortify your courage, as it will.
Yes.
And by powder,
exactly.
You mean cocaine powder.
Well, yeah, I suppose I might also inject a solution. But anyway.
right.
Whatever's quickest.
Well, that's.
I come back and all of a sudden I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Oh, what's with the energy, Doc?
And I load my firearm. And which way?
Well, I've got my rifle in the holster on my horse and my shotgun on my side. Okay. After you, we'll follow you. You lead us to your elder.
And now that you guys are all geared up and ready to go, I feel I should point something out to you. This being the the Old West, you don't usually travel by night. Horses don't like to walk in the dark where they can't see where they're putting their feet. And the chances of injury are, shall we say, rather high. Mm-hmm. Second of all, your horses are, you know, kind of tired, or at least for Sheriff Marsden, Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Mosley, your horses are kind of tired from running around all day.
All day, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you are aware that, you know, they need to be, you know, brushed down and, you know, put up for the night if you don't want to injure them. I mean, you're welcome. You guys are welcome to go. I'm not trying to tell you to stay in town, but I'm just pointing out that, you know, riding out at night.
What is the time?
It's after. I mean, it's well after dark.
Right. Well,
your call, Sheriff.
Okay, I think we have to do first light. I think we're going to have to wait till first light.
Sure, just so just so we're doing something, do you want to go and...
You want to go and check that fire alarm that's just gone off.
Somewhere. Yeah, that was that was the heart monitor on your patients, and I think that's bad.
Oh, never mind about them. Do you want to go and investigate this? This assayer's office. It might have something to do with what's going on. We're going to need someone who can crack a safe.
I don't know anyone.
Somehow I bet that if Curly were not catatonic from seeing the sheriff's daughter abducted, that he could probably do it. I don't know that for a fact, but that's just kind of a guess.
Just a kind of a man he is.
Although getting too close to the safe might cause your hair to fall out. So
that's not going to spoil Curly's looks.
Dr. Henry, would you make a medicine roll, please?
Yes. Yep, no problem.
Okay. You would assume that, you know, if and obviously you're not certain of this, but if there is something there that caused both Mr. Chambers to be sick and Mr. Fenner to be sick, they were both exposed to it for quite a while.
Yeah. So,
you know, Mr. Chambers had to have been in his office, you know, yesterday and all day, and you know, Mr. Fenner was sleeping there all night. You know, so it's again, you're definitely not certain, you know, but you would expect that. You know, if something caused them to be sick, it's something that, you know, they had to have exposed themselves to for an extended period of time. And that you were just in the office for a few minutes and you feel fine.
I feel fine. Yeah. What do you say, Sheriff? Should we go and take a look?
Okay, let's go and take a look. I don't know what we can do about it.
Didn't examine the safe the first time around. What is it? What kind of safe is it? Does it have a key? Does it have a combination?
It's a combination.
Okay.
Maybe he's got it written down somewhere. It's okay with you, Sheriff. We can take a look around in here.
Yeah, I didn't. Why didn't you take a look around here? I'll go back and check his pockets. I didn't. I don't think I did that, did I? Or did I?
Well, we can look in the drawers near the safe as well. If there's a desk.
Yeah, I'll head back to my
office. Look under his mouse pad.
And see if he has anything on him. And
hey, check under the keyboard to see if there's a code.
You guys are. I'll just give this to you since the assayer is, you know, a public figure, and you would be aware of this. He does have a secretary.
Oh well, walk up to the secretary. Speak to the secretary.
I mean, she's not there at this time on a Sunday night, obviously. But
well, do I know where she lives?
She's probably at home vomiting.
Everyone's
got a hair full
out.
The place is not a really big town.
Yeah.
Would I know where she lives?
Yes.
Well, I'll go to her house.
Okay. Yeah, she lives in one of the small houses right there near town. That's not going to be a problem.
What's her name?
Her name is something I haven't thought of.
Doris.
Margaret.
No, we got Doris first. That'll work.
Doris.
Doris, no less. Yes. we'll call her Mrs. Doris. That'll work.
Yes, Mrs. Margaret Doris.
She answers the door.
Mrs. Doris, if I may talk to you.
Ah, Sheriff, yes. What can I do for you?
I need to speak to you about your boss and his illness.
But his illness, is something wrong with Mr. Chambers?
Yes, he has come down rather sick, and the doctors asked me to check out a couple of things, and he believes that something may be stored away in his office, possibly in the safe, that may have made him sick.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, anything I can do to help, Sheriff. Just a moment. And she disappears back into the house and then comes out a few minutes later. We need to go to the office?
Yes, indeed.
She'll walk over there with you.
Okay, we'll head over to the office.
Okay.
I'll bring the doctor with me.
I presume the whole gang is.
Well, the whole gang.
Yeah.
Posse. We're a
strange-looking convoy.
We're a posse now.
My posse.
Unless y'all are going off, you know. Somewhere else.
I'm going to be there as well. Yeah.
Me and my posse.
I have a personal interest in finding what is going on. So,
okay.
So, Miss, do you know the combination to this safe?
Make a credit rating roll, Sheriff.
Credit rating roll. I rolled a 06. Oh. My credit rating is 15.
Well, yes, Sheriff, I do.
Can you open it, please?
I don't know if I should. That's where Mr. Chambers keeps, keeps all the valuables that people bring him. I'm not if really sure it's my place to open it.
Miss, do you want your boss to die?
I did make my credit writing.
Yes, you did. That's why she told you that she knew the password.
Yeah. Okay. If it's something that's making him sick or it's going to make other people sick, we'd like to know what it is. I won't touch anything, and I make sure nobody else touch anything. You know me. I'm a straight shooter. I am honest, and I'm sheriff of this town.
That'll be a persuade.
I'm kind of glad we don't have Curly with us at the moment. He would make this a very creepy thing.
25.
Where's my whip? 60.
Success.
Well,
I loathe him and miss him at the same time.
I'd guess if you say it's all right, Sheriff. Okay. And she goes in. She kind of hunches over the dial so that she still makes sure none of you can see it. And she spins it a few times and opens the safe.
Okay. Once it's opening, we'll take a look inside to see what's actually inside. Won't move forward to actually reach to grab anything, but just want to take a look to see what's inside.
The inside the safe is filled with a number of, I mean, not like dozens, but maybe there's a dozen of shallow trays. One or two of them are empty. The rest all have some papers, and then on top of the papers are there's some ore samples. A couple of them have actual, gold nuggets. One of them has a little bag like this.
Okay.
So let's take a look at some of these papers.
Can I get an idea roll from the doctor?
Be the ore samples, I'd
this
say.
Time you can, yes.
It is Sunday evening, and you know that Mr. Chambers and Mr. Fenner have not been sick very long.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably, if there is something here that was making them sick, it has not been here very long either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably is something that came in, or at least could be something that came in, let's say, after, or over the weekend, possibly, Saturday maybe.
Are these Friday? Things dated? Are they... are they attached to sort of information sheets?
And potentially someone with you might be able to identify something that's new versus stuff that's been there for a while.
Mrs. Doris, what is...
Yes?
What is in here that's come in recently, say, over the weekend or late last week?
She kind of peeks around you and looks in the safe, and she says, well, that bag of gold dust that was just brought in by one of the prospectors on Friday. She kind of indicates the little canvas bag, or the tray with the little canvas bag. And she kind of squints her eyes and that ore sample. I don't recognize that one. That must have come in Saturday when I wasn't here.
And what does this ore sample look like?
Funny you should ask.
It's glowing. It has eyes.
It's and
it's looking at you.
Assuming that this actually works, I will say that it looks like the...
It's updating.
It looks like this.
Are there any papers near it?
Yeah, there's a couple papers underneath it.
I will take those and read them.
Okay.
Kryptonite.
there's a bunch of... do you have any chemistry or geology?
No. No. I have biology, which is completely useless.
Then there's a bunch of scientific gobbledygook, which you can't read.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there is some notes that indicate that it was found near, or the, actually, I'm sorry, that it was brought in by a Mr. Frank Ramond.
Does anyone know that name?
I do. That's the farmer. Frank Ramond's a farmer whose daughter went...
One of the daughters missing?
Yeah, whose daughter went missing.
Okay.
Oh, that could be a coincidence.
Sheriff, we should not be exposed to it then.
No, no, we should, yeah, let's...
I'll step out.
Probably better to just leave it here, considering the sickness it's been causing.
Yeah, let's take the papers and shut everything else back up and tell Miss... forgotten her name.
Doris.
Miss Doris to to stay away, from the SA's office until we've sorted this all out, and not to let anyone else come in without the sheriff's say so.
Would everyone except Dr. Henry make a con by five roll?
Okay.
And Dr. Henry, would you make a con by four roll, please?
Yeah, made it by four.
Oh, just made it. Literally just made it.
44, and I pass.
I have the constitution of an ox, 02.
Oh.
Nice.
Did anyone fail?
Not me.
I guess not.
Don't think so.
No.
Never mind then.
Sorry,
we're Jim. Saving our fails for the critical moments.
Yeah. Slow death, that's not for us.
Just wait until we start the first firefight.
Yeah. We need something quick and squishy.
Okay, so we'll lock everything back up, and I guess we're gonna meet at first light.
Are you sure you should take those, Sheriff? Those are Mr. Chambers' papers. I don't want him to be angry with
Mr. I'm Chambers.
Sure Mr. Chambers isn't in any state to be angry with anyone right now. So
Mr. Chambers is ill. We will make sure that these will come back to the office, I promise you. We'll speak to Frank Ramon about it to let him know that we have the paperwork as well.
Mr. Chambers, is he going to be okay?
That will be up to the doctor. The doctor is looking after him.
Might be <here.
coughs> Death is his responsibility.
Well, what should I tell people when they come into the office tomorrow?
Just say he's currently indisposed or
keep the door locked.
Just I would not let them in the office.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be in the office.
Also,
Miss Doris, if I can just ask you, who deals with the who deals with invoices at the SA's office? Would that be your responsibility?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I'll send an invoice to you for the medical work. What I'm currently doing. So, thank you very much. If you can sort that out as soon as possible.
She just kind of stares at you open mouth.
Nice bedside manner, there, dog.
Wow,
baby, right now.
And she wanders off home,
confused and bewildered.
Yes. The sheriff did tell her not to come to the office, right?
We've told her to make sure the office is closed and not to let other people in the office.
Yeah. I would think a closed sign and a locked door is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably should tell the boarding house next door as well not to.
Yes. Keep that room vacant.
I'm going to see you guys in the morning. I'm going to have to break some bad news to my family.
I was wondering when you were going to get around to that.
Cheers.
Meanwhile, your wife and son have been home for, probably, the past hour now. What happened? She was
Where
just
is
gone
she?
For a minute.
I'll pass the sheriff a little bottle of something. This might help you sleep.
I'll take a big swig and then pass it back to you.
Sheriff.
Yes?
You said this Frank was also sick? Or what happened to this?
He was fine when we were there earlier, except worried sick about his girl.
Oh,
Frank wasn't sick. He was worried about his girl. His girl got taken, by the sounds of it, much in the similar way that my girl got taken, and that the girl from your tribe got taken.
Is this the same? Is he a miner?
He's a farmer. He's a farmer, which means that he. Which is weird that he would have this ore on his farm.
Oh, maybe he farms.
Most farms have rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the James Monroe said that they're starting to mine deeper in the mine, and they're bringing in some Chinamen to do the deeper mining, which this is where things started to get strange. So
maybe he has a lot of sick men. They have found that same ore.
Indeed, that's what I'm wondering. And maybe they've uncovered maybe this rock.
Indeed. Well, I am going to go into the saloon and get myself drunk.
I'm in speak to my family.
Yes. If you need my help, Serif, just come and knock at my hotel room. And here's your gun back, seeing as I don't need it for now.
Okay.
I guess I should spend the night at the town, right, Jim? I cannot go back to my tribe.
No,
or
can I? You could walk back, yeah, with no problem.
Okay. Yeah.
These horses have a tougher time.
If you want, there is a cot in the sheriff's office that you can crash if you want to crash there.
It's a perfectly good jail cell.
I will. tell the elders.
A little dirty at the moment. It's a little
a little bloody, I suppose, if somebody got shot there.
Yeah, we got to through the head. It kind of exploded.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, through the window and from the angle, probably from the doctor's roof. But there was nobody up there when I checked.
I will go back. I will go back to my people. I will talk to the elders and tell them about your daughter, Sheriff. Very sorry for this.
Expect us as soon as we can in the morning. We'll be there in the morning.
We expect the scouts to be back in the morning, too, so... It's a good time come when the sun rises.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I'll go back to the, my town.
Okay.
Yeah. Head back to our own places for an evening of probably really crappy sleep from watching a tentacle come down from the sky and snatch up a girl.
I have something that will help you forget. Which is exactly what I'm going to go and do, so... I will actually suggest to someone that they come and wake me in the morning because I might need a bit of encouragement.
Yes. I'm already halfway into a whiskey bottle.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
the night passes.
Sharp group in the morning.
Monday morning dawns bright and clear. Presumably you've all made it through the night, without too much difficulty. Although I'm sure the sheriff at least had kind of a rough night though, but
yeah, so what'd you tell her?
It's not so much tonight.
Not the truth, I hope.
No, that she's been kidnapped. Not that what kidnapped her, but I told her that she's been kidnapped and that we are going to be following the trail first thing in the morning and that the Indian scouts are going to be helping to track down whoever's responsible.
Yeah, good. And.
And she probably passed out.
We should probably spread a message in town to have no girls outside of their homes.
No children.
Today or next day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, no children outside.
Without any adult supervision.
And armed escort.
And the first thing I'll do is go to my office and let my secretary know that I will be heading out to follow a trail on the missing girls.
She says, okay. Oh, and by the way, Sheriff, there was a note here for you from Dr. Henry. Something about some sick guy, I guess. He wanted to talk to you.
What a helpful secretary.
Thank you. I have... already spoken to him, but thank you. I'll be seeing him soon. Also, can you make sure to get somebody in to clean out the cell?
she kind of looks at you and raises an eyebrow and goes, certainly, Sheriff. Get right on that.
Yeah, pay him whatever
when
we need to.
When mostly wakes up.
It can, just in a empty a blank grave.
And what should I do with the body that's been laying there all night?
get them in.
Shall I call the Undertaker, Sheriff?
The Undertaker to put them in a black grave. Basically, this person was involved with the kidnapping of the girls.
Oh, if you say so, Sheriff, I'll be sure and get that taken care of.
Thank you very much. And I grab my weapons and then go and get my horse and meet up with the others.
Okay.
So, did they come back, Jim, the scouts? Or are we going to wait until they're at my town to discuss it?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Yes, most of the scouts came back. I won't say it that way. I'll say all of the scouts came back. We'll wait.
A few of them vanished mysteriously.
I will wait here for the rest to come. So.
Yep, I'm set.
You'll make sure to get the doctor and everybody up.
Bucket of water.
Already? Oh, dear.
Up and at him, Doc.
Time for my morning medicine.
Just as you're headed out, Sheriff, your secretary kind of runs after you. Oh, Sheriff, one more thing.
Yes?
What about those Chinese who were to come through town today? What should I do if there's trouble?
We're heading up to the we'll be up at the Indian camp, so if you got any issues, send somebody up for us.
Okay, if you say so, Sheriff. I'll certainly do that. You're the boss.
I don't believe they're meant to be going, the Chinamen are meant to be going straight through to the, mine, so they shouldn't be troubled.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, Sheriff.
Let's go.
Yep. Let's go.
Okay, so you're going up to the Indian camp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So, like say, as before, you know, it takes you a good hour's ride to get up there. When you get there, you can see that the camp has definitely changed, you know, from what it looked like yesterday. Most of the teepees are taken down. You know, they're quite obviously packing up to leave. And you see Anapi come out to greet you.
Come, the scouts are back.
What's going on here?
I said yesterday we're leaving this place because of the rocks. My people doesn't feel safe here.
Well, can't really blame them.
Come on, let's get this over and done.
For Anapi, the elders, you know, the scouts did come back, but the elders said to wait until your white man friends arrived, and then everyone could talk about everything together.
Okay.
They didn't actually tell you anything other than you already know in particular.
We're waiting for you to arrive so we can discuss what happened. Hurry.
Okay, we head in.
Okay. Anapi leads you to the center of the camp. Seated around, you know, there's a number of men seated around the fire, and three very old, very wise looking folk, two men and a woman, who look up at you and, you know, kind of invite you to sit down and join them.
Yeah, I will try to help everyone to kind of follow the, you know, to be proper and everything with the elders, kind of help them to, you know, see around the place.
Did you guys bring Mr. Mosley with you, or did you leave him in town?
Was he in any condition to move?
Well, I didn't bring
him. You could always just deputize him and let him take care of the Chinaman if there's a problem.
That's gonna be funny.
Yeah, I'll have him deputized and leave him in town just in case there's any problems with the Chinaman.
Fair enough.
Sheriff, the town is burning.
you see a strange orange glow on the horizon.
Damn you, Mosley!
Oh man!
No, you kind of think of leaving Curly in charge of the town, and you kind of hallucinate seeing an orange glow on the horizon. But it's not actually there. You kind of shake your head. No, it'll be okay. It'll have to be okay. So you guys all sit down with so the elders of the tribe are there, as well as the Inapi. You recognize that the scouts that were sent out are all there, and most of the rest of the tribe is kind of standing around behind everyone, just kind of listening in, interested. The oldest of the elders, the woman. She looks at Sheriff Marsden and says, we understand that a couple of your young ones have been taken as well. You have our condolences for this.
Yeah, my daughter has been taken. So I'd like to get to the bottom of what this rock is and what we can do about it.
The ways of the spirits are mysterious. They come where they will and they go where they will. We believe they have come back to this valley to claim it for their own. That is why, and she kind of gestures around, that is why we are leaving it. That is why we are leaving it. The spirits wish to have this valley, then they should have it as their own, and we will not gainsay them.
Well, I think there must be something we can do about this.
She kind of shakes her head and looks around. She says something in Shoshone, which everyone... kind of chuckles at, and Inape, you know that she made some kind of mildly disparaging comment about the white man's arrogance.
Surprise, surprise.
What is, and she looks back to the sheriff, so what is it that you believe you can do against the spirits? Sheriff, certainly you are a great man, but...
I don't know what I can do, but it has taken my daughter. I'll do what I can, even if it means sacrificing my own life to bring it back my daughter.
She looks around, she kind of nods a little bit, like, she's, okay, yeah, I get that, okay. Well, as I believe that young Inape here has told you, we have sent scouts out through the night to try and locate... the city of the spirits. I believe that they have found it.
Where?
At this point, she kind of nods to one of the other men sitting around the circle, and he looks up and he says, "About halfway up Sparrowhawk Mountain." And you all kind of know where this is. It's the hill above the Ramond farm.
Huh. Is the mine perhaps in that same hill?
No.
No, I thought the mine's on the other side, isn't it?
That is correct.
But is it the same hill, or...?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Completely opposite direction. Well, not completely opposite directions, but... Yeah,
yeah, I mean... Yeah, but on a different side of the whole place.
Yes. Right. Geographically speaking, they have no relation... They have no proximate relation to each other.
Yeah. Hills, flatlands, hills.
I will turn to the scouts... If that is okay, and ask them if they, I will ask in English. Did you see the girls? Did you see Etu or Itu?
The same one who spoke up previously says, I saw spirits returning to a cavern. I saw no girls.
I will just turn to the sheriff. If we want to go to this cavern, we should go through the ritual, as the elders said yesterday. They're willing to help you and anyone who wants to join you. I will join you, Cherry. So
what is this ritual?
The cleansing ritual. We need to be prepared if we are to face the spirits in the cavern.
Well, I'm willing to do the ritual. I don't know about the others here, but I am. I plan to face off the spirit.
I will just wait for the elders.
I'm open. We just, hopefully this won't take too long. I'm sure we're limited on time.
I'll mutter about it being a waste of time, but it's going to make you happy, Sheriff.
The lady speaks up again. Yes, if you wish to go confront the spirits, you must be clean when you do so. Otherwise, you will certainly be killed. And she kind of looks at who was that made the comment about hopefully it didn't take too much time.
It was me.
Yeah, it was me.
Okay, yeah, you both did shoot. She kind of looks at the two of you and says, it may take longer for some than for others, pointedly looking at Dr. Henry. And then she kind of looks around again, but it will probably take the remainder of the day.
Well, that's, you know, up to you, Sheriff.
Well, Sheriff, you know it was a spirit. You know there was no eagle.
That definitely was no eagle what we saw.
My people know.
Definitely not.
And people knows the way of the spirits. You should follow advice from the elders.
I will. I'd like to follow the advice of the elders. Let's start this ritual. Let's get this ritual happening as soon as possible.
Yeah, she looks around. Are you all going to participate?
I'm fairly sure that my soul requires some sort of cleansing. So
sure. Yeah, it might help you.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you'll get rid of the curse. Doubt it, but who knows?
Very well, then let it be done. And she kind of indicates to a couple of the other men of the tribe, and so take them and see that it is done. And two of Inapi's compatriots stand up, and they kind of indicate for you to come with them.
All right, I'll follow them.
You meaning all of you, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep, follow.
Yeah.
Just as you do, make a listen roll.
All right.
No.
Pass.
Mr. Wilson, you can hear what sounds like somebody on a horse at high speed galloping towards the camp and calling out for Sheriff Marsden.
Now,
there's someone coming.
Damn.
Look over in the direction it's coming from and kind of point.
Turn around and have a look.
And a moment later, a rider bursts into view. Sheriff Marsden, Sheriff Marsden, you have to come quick.
What's wrong?
There's trouble in the town. It's the Chinese and the miners. They're coming. You gotta come.
Oh my goodness. Well, Sheriff, what do you want
to
do?
Mr. Mosley said to get you that he needed help.
Okay, there's something wrong here.
He hasn't burned down the town yet.
Just the idea of him saying he needs help with something. I the hairs on the back of my neck are going up.
Same here. We've got to. How long are you guys? Is the tribe still going to be here for? It looks like we've got something to deal with in town before we can go after this rock, the spirit.
Inape would be happy to tell you that the tribe is leaving tomorrow.
Can you delay for a day if we go and deal with what's happening in town and come back?
What do they say?
That would be that would be up to the elders. You would have no idea.
Could you ask
But
them?
You would presume the answer is no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling they want to get out of here as fast as possible.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I thought I'd lost you guys.
We are all just quiet.
We have to go into town.
The elders want to leave as soon as possible. I don't believe they will wait one more day.
Okay, we have to go into town. We'll have to deal with what's in town as quickly as possible and get back.
Well, you go. I'm going to stay for the ceremony thing. I can't help you out with the Chinese anyway, so.
Okay.
I was just going to point that out, that nobody said everyone had to go into town.
Yeah. You know, if you want someone to come back with you, then fine. But otherwise, yeah, that makes sense for the rest of us to take care of this. Or maybe take the doctor back with you in case somebody's been hurt.
Yeah.
Doc, if you want to come back with me, and then we'll go and see what's happening back in town and get back here as soon as we can.
Sounds like a good plan.
This whole ritual idea was stupid anyway. It's wasting time.
Hey, the doctor's happy to leave.
Okay, we head back to town.
All right.
Okay, so Sheriff Marsden and Dr. Henry are headed back to town. And Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wayne, and Inape are staying. Did I get that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. We will let Mr. Marsden and Dr. Henry ride off, and we will stay with Mr. Wayne, Mr. Wilson, and the silent Inape, who is asking to be reconnected.
Oh,
right.
I'm trying to do that, but it doesn't seem to. Oh, there we go. Just come on.
Yeah, I'm the one who started the call, so I've got to be the one to do it. But I don't always have Skype open on my screen. So. All right. Okay. So,
are you there, Randall?
What? Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. So the tribesmen take you down by the river to the same clearing where Etu disappeared. And they kind of point out some of the willow trees nearby, and they have you all cut off a number of willow branches, and then they have you they dig a small pit in the ground, and they have you erect the willow branches in kind of a small dome over it, and then they take a number of skins and hides and they cover it over. And they build a fire next to it, and they put some rocks into the fire, and they ask you all to strip naked and go and bathe in the river.
All right.
Sure.
Problems with that.
they explain that what they're doing is they're building a sweat lodge for you, and so when you come out of the river, the fire's going, and they got the rocks are really hot, and they take a few of them. And they put them in the pit in the center, and they ask you all to go in and sit.
I have bad experiences with sweat lodges.
Yeah.
And so you're all kind of just sitting there looking at each other and sweating. And periodically, one of them comes in with you, and periodically he kind of reaches out to the guy that's outside, and they bring in another hot rock to kind of renew the heat. Every once in a while, they pour some water on them, kind of get the place nice and steamy, so you guys all get a nice, good sweat going.
Ah, oh, it's like a sauna.
Mm, steamy.
It's like a sauna in here, guys. We do this in Finland all the time. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, I am from Finland. So
I thought he was from Minnesota.
Well, yes, but originally I'm from Finland.
Oh, okay. I was looking forward to you trying a Minnesota accent.
No, I have a Finnish accent, so it works out perfectly.
Okay. Playing to your strengths. It works.
Well, yeah.
And as you're kind of sitting there, you can start to hear some chanting or some singing from outside. And time passes. You're in there for quite a while. And then finally, invite you to come back out, and you can see you've been in there for many, many hours. It's mid to late afternoon now, and you've been sitting for so long and hot and sweaty. You're kind of unsteady on your feet and a little shaky. And some of the tribeswomen come up and they help you down into the river and then kind of splash water on you and so forth. So the three of you. Nobody is down any hit points, right?
Nope.
Okay. The three of you feel very refreshed. If you feel as if you had been down on hit points, you might have gotten some back. you may all take a D4 San.
All right. Oh, I only have one loss.
That's a plus. That's not.
It's a gain.
Oh, it's a gain. Plus. I see. So
yes.
Wait a minute. So we gain. Is that like a permanent gain or?
Yeah, it's just a gain to your sand. Same way a loss works.
As permanent as any other change to your sand is. Yes.
Yep. You can't go above 99 minus your Cthulhu Mythos.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's correct. That's the only ceiling.
Well, I gained the one point that I have lost. So.
Yep.
Technically, I haven't lost anything, even though I have lost one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still down one, right?
And you can also, and you also have a plus one to both your POW and your CON, but that's just temporary. That's not permanent.
Wow. All right.
Like I said, this was all a load of nonsense, this ritual. I'm so glad I didn't stay for
it. Yes.
Same here.
Yes, it was pretty pointless.
Yeah. No benefits at all.
None whatsoever.
So you come out of it feeling very invigorated and refreshed.
I suspect that the Finnish sauna doesn't really quite have this effect on the body. Not that you really usually spend hours in the sauna.
Well, maybe that was the difference.
Yeah. Maybe you just need to stay in there all day long.
Yeah. I should try that now that I... When I go on vacation.
Yeah, see how that works out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Get back to us.
Sure.
When you get out of the hospital.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, Sheriff Marsden and Dr. Henry have been riding back to town.
Yeah, and we're the ones who are going to have the Sandlot.
And... and you arrive in town just as we fade to black, and I think that's a good place to call it for this week.
Episode 100. And,
hopefully, Mr. Mosley will be with us. Hopefully, Mr. Mosley will be with us next week and can fill you in on what's happened. And so, yes, that's it. Escape of Cthulhu number 100.
Yay. All right. My glorious return.
Okay, my name's Ed. My character is Frank Ballantyne.
Personally, my name is Randall. Character is Gregory Larson.
Well, I am David, playing Terrence William.
See, my character is Jeffrey Ratcliffe. Who does he think he is?
I'm Mark, and I'm going to be playing Rudolph Bartz.
I'm Mike. My character is Drayton DeBoat.
I'm Brian, and my character is Henry Hill Smith.
Jeff Johnston.
Jasper Balthazar Dashwood.
This is Jim, of course. I am playing Mazin Al-Kadim.
Yeah, so my character is called Marinus.
My character is Marcus Attilius.
I am Valus Socius.
Yeah, we got you back, and you know nobody died yet.
Yeah, nobody went crazy.
Yeah,
we're getting older.
Oh yeah, but
yeah, but the alternative is
getting older and older all the time. All right, Western. That's kind of a change.
Yeah,
change of scenery.
My first time with this genre, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a homegrown one, isn't it,
Jeff? I was kind of happy to see there was a...
Yes, yeah.
I saw there was a fair bit of discussion on the one session that we did
on the MUP forum.
Miskatonic forum. That was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, and that is...
I also noticed that between... Yeah, he got a few write-in votes for favorite player.
yes, I noticed what? That.
Gunther?
On the strength of his one session there.
Oh,
yeah. I think so that's kind of cool. Good.
Oh, you're talking about Curly.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Shannon's character.
Yeah. I actually went ahead. I don't know if I was supposed to be able to or not, but I voted in that because I really needed to speak up for Gunther because he had me laughing so much.
Yeah. I know. I voted for Gunther as well.
Can I say I really enjoyed Gunther? I mean, when I was just a listener, I loved Gunther. He was a great character.
Yeah, he was.
That was such a short game, too. That was, what, 3 sessions for that whole scenario?
Yeah, it was. That was stirring in Odenwald, right?
Yeah, that was really short.
Yeah, and Gunther wasn't even around for all of it.
Mm-hmm. No, he was the last 2 sessions, I think, he was in. Because in the first session, my character
died. Or...
yeah. Then in the first session, my character was just following Jim's character around.
So funny.
So I had asked people to, if they had anything in particular to say about episode 100, just as an aside for all the listeners. I know there has over the past 2+ years been a lot of commentary both on the our website, YSDC website, and of course the Miskatonic University forum, graciously provided by Keeper Dan. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, of course.
But I did get a couple of emails specifically referring to episode 100. So I wanted to share them with you guys.
Awesome.
All right.
This first one is from John Hook, who I believe we all know, mm-hmm. author of Timeless Sands of India, co-host of the Miskatonic University podcast.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah,
I figured he had.
He's a hack.
Yeah, he is. That timeless sense of it.
Yeah, he's got some nice things to say about you, Dan, in here too. So his email reads, "Hello to Jim and all of the Skype of Cthulhu gang. I remember reading on the Yog Sothoth forums about a new actual play podcast called Skype of Cthulhu. The name said it all, and I was hooked. As an aside, I'm hoping, Randall, that you can remember." Who was it that came up with that with the name? Was that you, or was that? Because I know it wasn't me.
Yeah,
I can't remember if it was you or David or Ed.
No, it was me. I send you an email when we just started. Okay, we haven't even played once. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was you. Yeah, that, I just knew it wasn't me, but I couldn't remember who it was. Okay, continuing. I loved that you guys kicked off the podcast with a campaign. It was awesome to listen to the investigators mature in their madness as they continued to encounter the mythos. I so wanted those adventures to continue, but I've come to love the varied Cthulhu scenarios that Skype of Cthulhu has explored. Classic 1920s, Invictus, modern day Dreamlands, as well as Trail of Cthulhu and Cthulhu Dark. Love it all. I do have one problem. Again, this is John's email. This is not me speaking. Recently, the Miskatonic University podcast has lent one of its own to the hooligans of Skype of Cthulhu, and Little Keeper Danny is a timid soul. I am unhappy with the way Sock has been treating Danny. His sanity is quite fragile as it is, and with every session you push him ever closer to the brink mania. The only way to fix this is to give him a Tommy gun, several 30-pound drums ready to go. I'd consider it a personal favor if you could do this for me. I cannot wait for the next 100 episodes of Skype of Cthulhu. Cthulhu Fatagan, John Hook. So there you go. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. So I have one other email here. This is from Joe from Boston, who I don't know if he's on. And Joe, if you're listening, I apologize if you're on either YSDC or Miskatonic. So I don't know if we've heard from him before. But he writes in to say, just wanted to say hi and mention to all the guys how much I enjoy Skype of Cthulhu. While the Providence players and probably Legs, personal aside, thank you, will always be my favorites, I wanted to tell you that it was your podcast and players that can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're breaking up a lot, but we can make it out.
And, you know, what are you going to do? Let me try moving the laptop over there. How's this? Is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
That's better.
Okay. So while the Providence players and probably Legs will always be my favorites, I wanted to tell you that it was your podcast and players that introduced me to the game itself. I think I had heard maybe one somewhere before, but it wasn't until I heard Mr. Corbett's house that I understood what I was listening to. Also, it was partly this podcast that really got me interested in H.P. Lovecraft. I had heard the name, but never really knew anything about him, his works, or the game. I've been an avid reader/listener since. Without you guys, HPL would just be an obscure name. So I wanted to thank you all, and here's to episode 200.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Like, whoa.
That's really an interesting way to be introduced to the writer.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, pop on over to the forums.
Yes, Joe from Boston. If you're not already on YSDC and Miskatonic, which MU-podcast, I think, Dan, do I have? Do I remember that correct?
Okay. Yes, indeed. Yep.
I just go to a book, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, be sure to Joe from Boston and everyone else, be sure to join and support both of those. We also had a little poll that I put up, and I have the results here. Some interesting things. Before I get to the results, though, I have there were actually a total of 37 people who voted. If I take out the Skype of Cthulhu members who voted, and I take out, which is fine. There were a couple of us, no big deal. I voted. Mine's in there too.
Yeah,
we count voting.
We have opinions.
Yes.
I voice counts too.
And there were a few people who voted without leaving an email, which is fine. It just means I'm not going to send you a T-shirt because your email isn't in here for that. But I know they were real people because they actually answered the anti-robot question.
Right.
Which just as an aside, was a little funny because I thought the answer to that was pretty obvious, but there were some interesting responses in there that, you know, they're clearly people who, you know, they're clearly people who listen, but perhaps I didn't word the question clear enough. But so your vote is still counted. You're still in here. So that results in a total of 30, which is a surprisingly nice even number.
Yeah.
So Randall, would you roll a D3 for me, please?
Sure. Let me check. That's a 2, so it's a 1. The D3 okay. is 1.
And Gary, would you roll?
Pardon?
You broke up.
And Gary, would you roll a D10?
A D10, okay. That's a 9.
Would you roll a D10? Sorry.
9. Okay. 9.
That's a 9?
Yep.
9, okay. That is somebody who got it. That's somebody whose email address I can't read. It makes no sense. M.in.me, okay? So
do you want to roll the D10 again?
I will get them a T-shirt. Dan, would you roll a D3, please?
Sure. And that is a 2.
And Tony, would you roll a D10?
All righty. That would be a 8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we are about to be accused of favoritism, because that is Mr. John Hook himself.
Ah, well.
So I'll send him a T-shirt too.
Some people is just lucky. I never win anything.
So the actual
Name wasn't there anyways.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, if it had been one of us who voted, that would have been.
No, but in general, I never win anything.
There may be some sand loss associated when it shows up and you see the Cafe Press on the up.
Cafe Press, no!
Yeah, I have the same failing. I have a surprisingly low luck.
Same here.
So I want to start with so the three questions in the poll were favorite scenario, favorite player character, and favorite campaign. Let's start with favorite campaign because that's kind of the shortest one, of which I put three in there. So the original campaign, the Providence Cycle, Legacy of Auris Lurko, which is still going on, and then, of course, kind of collectively the one-shots. So what do you guys think? Comments, thoughts, ideas? What do you guys like or don't
Providence.
Like? Dan?
Yeah,
what did you vote for?
The Providence Cycle.
Yeah.
Although I have a place in my heart for Invictus, but I have a feeling that the winner is going to be the Providence Cycle. I think that's that's a big part of people. Oh, and
for me, Invictus, because Invictus is the first one I've got to play with you guys. But as a listener, I'd say Providence.
Yeah. Well, for me, I was first playing when Providence was. Well, can't remember. Was it Randall? Do you remember, was it the Providence Cycle? I mean, Body of Work was a part of the Providence Cycle, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so that was the first time I was playing. So, but, of course, Invictus is like, it's Rome. I happen to like that time period. So
go ahead.
No, Dr. Larson is one of my favorite characters, you know, of the ones that I have played. So, yeah, for me, it was also this Providence Cycle. Plus, I really like to play in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. I love the 20s, and I have to say, I love the deaths that happened in the Providence Cycle. I really enjoyed listening to those deaths.
Yeah. I think the thing about Providence Cycle I liked was that it was the same characters in different scenarios and in games rather than one continuous campaign for all of it with different characters. So it was essentially the opposite.
Well, they were kind of tied up all together, though.
Yeah.
It was like a campaign.
But
it was like a campaign. Yeah. It was like a proper full-on campaign.
with the same characters.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it was, it was a lot of fun. It got me through many hours of work.
Yeah.
Come on, Skype, let Jim back on.
Lost Jim.
Oh, is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
We had lost Jim.
Jim has lost his Wi-Fi.
Crying in joy, so.
Yeah,
he needed to drop.
He is the result of the rest of the poll.
And we'll leave it for you next week.
It's a cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
Don't forget to tune in next week.
And especially, isn't that Providence Circle where the church with the creatures on the church, the Shoggoth?
Yeah, that's the one.
So, yeah, I think
that's the ending.
Being wrapped up, isn't it? Yeah.
That was at the end.
That was the ending.
That was just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, the last magic trick from Seth.
Yeah, no, I'll just walk up and touch. I'll just walk up and touch it.
Yeah. Real smart move. But then again, the rest of us were enslaved or something.
Yeah, weren't a few people crushed under the roof too? Thought the building collapsed on someone. And...
Yeah, we all died. Basically, Seth's character was the only one that survived. All of us died on that church, and
it was left kind of open whether we died or not.
No, yeah,
because in the end we were just basically those of us who survived, which wasn't actually specified who of us died and who survived were dragged off to being slaves to the deep ones or whatever.
Yeah.
No, because you basically had to sacrifice the girl right at the end to all the different gods to stop it all happening.
Yeah, and we didn't.
Is Jim doing the recording tonight?
I have been recording. So. I record all my Skype calls, so we do have backup. Ah,
so this part's being recorded as well. Yeah.
You back, Jim?
Oh, God. How annoying. Ah!
You just missed a great,
stupid internet.
You missed a great discussion about the Providence Circle and the whole final scene.
Yes, indeed. In any case, I do believe...
Well, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, I do believe we concluded, though, that Providence Circle is the favorite.
Was probably the winner. What was it?
Yeah, probably the winner of those.
If we look at the actual voting, you guys can hear me, right?
Am I
good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry, I'm trying to move. Trying to find the
You're all broke up now.
That was the wrong spot.
Yeah, go back the other direction because now you sound like crap.
It's actually working, so trying to kind of find the right spot.
That's a bad spot, too.
You had it there
too.
For a second, but...
move back a little bit.
How about now? Can you guys...
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Hold your arm out.
It's the side. There you go.
And get some tea.
Angle at about 45 degrees.
Just don't breathe.
Oh, annoying. So, yes, the actual voting. third place with 4 votes was... Lurko. Mm-hmm. Second place with 10 votes was the One Shots, and first place with 21 votes was Providence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so quite clear.
Yeah.
And he's gone again.
It's not showing, John. Oh, okay.
I am not gone. I can hear you guys just fine.
Oh.
There you are. He was just quiet.
So what do we got for the other questions on the survey? Because we already talked all about Providence while you were gone. So what's the next one?
So scenario.
Yeah.
I think I don't even remember how many scenarios there were in total. I'm going to go look now. There were
quite a few.
There were 24, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So out of the 24 scenarios in total, and I should point out that this was put together like back around 95, so it doesn't include Big Sky Country or Sisters of Sorrow. Or the Devil's Music are basically the 3 that are not included here. 18 received at least 1 vote.
Nice.
So
that's a widespread.
It's Yeah, it's a nice distribution. I guess I think I count that as a good thing. You know, it means mm-hmm. everyone's kind of finding something they like. So, what do you guys think? Favorite scenarios?
Yeah.
Mr. Corbett, probably.
Yeah, Corbett was good. Especially since I've run that one before, and so yeah, I know the fun of that thing and the special garden in the back, and yeah, that's a fun one. Yeah, the original ones have gone really well.
I really like Dockside Docks.
Yeah, I like that one as well.
The one shot was a lot good. Of fun.
I wish I would have actually been playing that.
Yeah, me too.
actually, when I missed that, I was kind of pissed off when I was listening to it because it like sounded so much fun.
Yeah, I didn't care so much before it went, but then after hearing it, I'm like, oh, I really should have been able to get in on that one. I don't remember what I was doing, but I had something going on.
I definitely enjoyed the Dockside Dogs one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess Die High wasn't included in those either.
No, Die High is a not receiving a vote.
Yes.
One of the six that
was
did not
a lot
get...
of fun to listen to, though.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I'd have to say my favorite would be the Mr. Corbett one.
Yeah, I can't really say automatically what it would be for me. I liked Stirring in Odenwald.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Dockside Dogs would be the one that I would have voted for, and I think I voted for that one anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Both of those had me laughing a lot. Legs also had me laughing quite a lot.
Yeah.
I've always had a fondness for the games where you play yourself. In my live play groups, you know, when I lived in Dallas, we actually used to do a Halloween tradition of play yourself during a zombie apocalypse Call of Cthulhu game. Cool. Those never ended well.
Probably not.
But it was kind of our Halloween tradition.
I think the great thing about running Dockside Dogs, I mean, that was my first time really, was that it was you guys made it so easy because you did all the hard work for me and just really got into character. And
It was really good. I like listening to that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm normally not a fan of the whole player confrontational sort of thing, but it worked pretty well in that.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it helps because it was based on something something fairly familiar probably to all of us. So.
Yeah, it helped having that frame of reference for the field.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you knew exactly what... Well,
it's expected.
Kind of what you were going for.
Yeah.
Of course, there was some freaky stuff happening there as well. So.
Mm. All right. So the actual voting. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
We're just waiting.
Sorry, just wanted to make sure.
Hold no breath.
Okay. So in fourth place, we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have a 7-way tie for fourth place with one vote each, The Bleeding Stone of Iptha, which I believe David ran that. That's one of the ones that I missed.
Yeah, that's
David.
Yeah. All right, I think that was a two-session. Does anyone know who wrote that? I was too late. I was too lazy was to, it, ask, to ask.
It was an old adventure, wasn't it? Workshop magazine.
Yeah, it was some really old.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No, I don't recall.
It could have actually been one of the original. Scenarios from the core books, even.
No, it is not.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Well, it's old in any case.
Also, tied for fourth place with one vote, we have Hellfire, Adam Gauntlet's Trail of Cthulhu scenario, run by Mr. Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We have King, which was actually our anniversary one-shot, Gary Birch from Cthulhu Britannica. It was kind of a fun scenario.
It was.
Everyone is blind at the beginning. Yeah,
I remember that one. Mm-hmm.
We have Seth W.'s Untitled Noir scenario.
Oh, that's the one, the first appearance of your violinist, right?
Yes. The first appearance of... Arkady Dikhtyarenko, yes.
That's the one, yeah.
Who, if we had one more player character show up, Arkady would have survived that scenario. we have Of Grave Concern, the Monophobia scenario that Dan and I ran.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hell of a start for me.
It was a tough goal. As a player, it's difficult to play alone.
Yeah. That was my first solo game ever.
We have The Plantation, Wesley Martin from Mansions of Madness, the second Providence scenario.
Yep.
Yeah. I've run that scenario several times for home groups.
And we have The Seventh Turn, part one of Lurka Oscar Rio's Legacy of Aris Lurka. Moving on, we in third place, before we have a five-way tie.
Wow.
With two votes each. Lurko Part 2, Mask of the Funeral Clown.
Yep.
Mr. Corbett, Michael DeWolf's Mansions of Madness scenario, our very first Skype of Cthulhu scenario ever.
Yep.
We have Lurko Part 3, Scion of Vulcan.
Yep.
Seth W.'s Hammer-esque horror scenario, Stirring in the Oldenwald.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. John Hook's Timeless Sands of India.
The butchering of it that we did.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, but man, we were all over the place with that.
Yeah.
Yes, where everyone just decides to run away in the end.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not doing this.
Not me.
We're leaving.
No,
not me.
About this.
I went in there to get them.
I shall go do some coke back in France.
And I was in it at the end to kill the monkeys, so
I died too. So yeah,
as a little preview from that, there's a I didn't actually count this, but I think that for individual scenario with the most player characters receiving the most votes for player character, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Timeless Sands of India is probably near the top of that list.
Oh, wow.
I see.
Cool.
In second place, we have a four-way tie with three votes each. As I said, there's a lot of distribution here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I agree. I totally agree. We have Closed Casket, Brian Salmon's trail from the Secrets book.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Mr. Erickson.
Yes, the first appearance of Mr. Erickson, yes, who we saw before, who we would later see in Chicago.
Yes, he's still alive.
We have the very popular Dockside Dogs.
Yay.
We have part three of the Providence Cycle, The Horrible Secret of Monaghan Island.
That's crazy. Yeah. Good one.
A very old scenario from 1984 by Gary Pilkington. And we have Legs.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Awesome. I really wish I could have played in that one. That just sounded like so much fun. I love the whole convention idea.
Yeah.
Legs was funny. And the PDF that was made, that's just in. That's.
I don't know who you got to
do
your
layout
and
art, but that was
crazy.
Awesome.
I will take credit for the layout because I did the layout.
Good.
The artist is a gentleman by the name of Tobias White. He lives in Los Angeles. He lives in the LA area, a couple hours from me. But his website's there, credited there in the PDF. He does some pretty good work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Just curious, Jim. Did you listen to the recording, or you send him like a request of what you wanted to see on the PDF?
Oh, for the artwork? No, I specifically told him what pieces I wanted.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty good choice, actually. I really like the art.
Yeah, the art was really good in that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, the pieces definitely seemed to be right out of the audio game.
Yeah, they did, actually.
Looking down and freaking out at these boils of legs starting to come out of them. And
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they came together pretty well. So first place for favorite scenario. as voted by the listeners.
Eight-way tie.
Is a two-way tie.
Ah.
Not an eight-way tie, but a two-way tie.
All right.
With four votes each. we have is the penultimate Providence scenario, body of work.
Yep.
Or,
oh, when we face the Russians, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Ah,
there were Russians and there were Shoggoths. Yeah.
You like adapted that from a novel?
Yes.
Was that okay? Yeah.
That was my first time ever with this.
Yeah. Movie.
And it has gone downhill ever since.
Your experience or ours?
Well, I don't know. Probably both. Probably the listeners, most likely.
And tied with it for favorite scenario is the final scenario in the Providence cycle, Slaves to the Cause.
All right.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is one of the things we were discussing just before you disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
ending, specifically.
The ambiguous, squishy, bloody ending.
Yeah, and Mr. Fitzgerald's last magic trick.
Yeah.
It was Mr. Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah. Let's just touch what's on the outside of the church.
I'm glad for you, Jim. You know, you're the writer for two of the most famous scenarios. Lex and, you know, Lex is second place, you said, and also the last, the last two winners you also wrote.
Yes, I did.
So we got a winner.
Well, if we add up all the votes for author, then yeah, that's no. favorite player character. There were a lot listed. I think there were 80 some odd listed.
Yeah.
Gunther.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. There are, out of the 80 some that were listed, there are 21 that received at least one vote.
Okay.
Wow.
Helps get rid of some of them to start with. That's
yes. So, what do you guys think? I know there's been a lot of chanting for Gunther.
Yeah,
that was a crazy character.
Gunther's just a special kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Crash helmet special.
Yes, I'd have to say Gunther. I mean, it's before this, I mean, especially on the boards with Mosley, we've been getting a lot of hits, but Mosley wasn't in on this. But I'd have to say Gunther.
Yeah, Gunther.
Yeah, I could definitely see Mosley getting a lot now that he's actually been unleashed upon the intertubes.
Yeah, I'm sure he certainly would have. Just out of curiosity, I wanted to ask you guys, if you turn it around, of the characters that you guys play, who's your favorite?
Oh, well, that is a very easy answer.
Mr. Armistead.
Mr. Armistead. Yeah, there's like, I don't think there's anyone as much fun playing as he was.
I mean, at the moment.
The accent is just so ridiculously, how do you say, stereotypical cliché.
Hmm.
I mean, at the moment, I mean, I'm the only character I really got to say would be the sheriff. I've quite enjoyed playing the sheriff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I have to say that even though I really, really like Dr. Larson, you know, I stayed with him for months during the Providence cycle. I also had a lot of fun playing Antonio Figueroa, the photographer from, you know,
the
jumper.
Yeah. Yes,
base jumping photographer.
Exactly.
Yes,
yes. Well, it's a different kind of character for me.
He'd be a good one to see come back someday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me it has to be Armistead. He was fun.
I had a lot of fun with Decimus.
Yeah, I'd have to say Ku is also there, but he didn't get too much air time.
Yeah, but, you know, I had fun with Decimus, and I don't know why, but I'm also looking forward to getting back into Invictus later on so I can play some more with Corpus.
Corpus. Mm-hmm.
Because I just something about that kid.
I'm looking forward to playing Invictus, but it's going to be a new character, unfortunately. So many
Dan,
bad.
Can you add Jonathan back in?
Oh,
just so many bad roles with that character.
Which one?
My Invictus character.
Ah, was, right.
Just wait, I've got him here somewhere.
Yeah, well, at least he wasn't burned again. Marinos was burned.
He was just killed by flying polyps.
Yeah, Marinos was burned. Nice crisp.
I fell like 1,000 feet, then exploded and burned.
On top of burning sheep.
Yes, with the burning Operation Sheep-splosion was a resounding success as far as I'm concerned.
Marinos was there quite a long time as well. I mean, he was in the what was the thing before the actual Arius Lurko campaign? The prequel. What was that called again?
The boat and the island and
Nelfractus. I knew him. Nelfractus.
Yeah. He was in that already. So
I kind of hemmed and hawed over my vote for favorite player character a little bit between Dr. Larson and Mr. Ratcliffe. In the end, I gave my vote to Dr. Larson, though. I liked him. The violent, gun-toting, yig-worshipping just held an appeal for me that I thought that was a lot of
fun.
And my favorite character so far actually playing, is somewhat strangely, possibly, because I didn't roll her up, she was a pre-gen, was actually Sarah Farthing from Hellfire. I had a good time with her.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yes. She was kind of
ugly dead also.
What would you call her? A bit flaky, maybe? Or
she was different.
Yeah. She was kind of
anyway.
She kind of had her
opinions on things, and for the era, probably not necessarily as wise as could be, but
Jonathan, are you back?
It looks like he's back, but
can you hear me?
Yeah.
There we go. It was muted because the cat is yowling. So
sorry about that. So what's your favorite player character and favorite player character that you played?
Oh goodness, really decide. It's let me think about favorite character I played. I quite like my Invictus character, just because I think it's quite interesting playing a the character that everyone else looks up to and automatically, and you just get to be horrible to everyone else. So something appealing about that.
Deditus Maximus.
That's the one, Deditus Maximus. I guess all of my other characters have kind of been one shots and short ones, so I haven't really grown as attached to any of those. I guess my favorite character of another would probably have to be Flammer from Invictus.
Now, that's just because he was following you around, doting on your every word all the time.
Pretty much, exactly. Yes.
Everyone loves to have a servant.
That was my favorite lackey.
Deditus has, as time has gone on, he's come to respect Flammer
for his servile nature.
Flammer versus, what's his name? What was the
Solace.
Solace's.
Yes, that is a great rivalry.
Yes, which the ending of which is somewhat anticlimactic, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because he ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, okay, probably so... a sensible thing to do, but.
So the actual results from the listeners is much more weighted towards the top few vote getters kind of ran away from everyone else. There is a 16-way tie for fifth place.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
With one vote each. We have Agrippa, Mike's charioteer from
he was
the
fun.
Early part of Lurko. We have Mr. Arkady Diktyarenko, our violin playing itinerant musician.
Yeah.
Mr. Bedford Harrison, Dan's translator from Timeless Sands of India. Yep, he got a vote.
Awesome.
Yay. Captain Percival Musgrave, formerly of the Royal Navy, Dan's Hellfire character. A character who I can honestly say I don't remember at all. I guess that's probably kind of embarrassing. Carl Arness, Mike's bartender from Wasted Youth.
Ah, right, okay.
Detitus Maximus, our good surgeon from Lurka. Dr. Daniel Prescott.
Oh.
Tony's alienist from Iteration of Evil.
And my current character in the Miskatonic University campaign, actually.
Yep. In the playtest that we're doing right now with John.
Oh, very nice.
So Dr. Prescott is back.
He gets around.
Dr. Gregory Larson, already talked about, Randall's Providence guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Drayton Dubois, Mike's gentleman bootlegger from Providence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Father Oswald Arbuckle. Shannon's character from Silent Night.
No, I don't think I've actually heard that one.
Yeah, that was not too long ago, and I actually don't remember it either. Like, I know I was.
That's the problem.
There,
we had so many adventures, they do tend to blur after a while. This was the one where we had the Teko Teko that I kept calling, like, Gollum.
We have one vote for Flama, my own Serva Gladiator. From Cyan of Vulcan. One vote for Mr. Jasper Balthazar Dashwood, Jeff's businessman and aviator from the Providence Cycle.
Yep.
We have one vote for Miss Corrine Kirkwell, Professor David's student from the Timeless Sands of India.
Cool. Yep.
We have one vote for Rainier Prosper Edgard Armistead, Tony's painter from Timeless Sands of India.
That is Prospector. Only one vote. That is so wrong.
We have one vote for Solace the Apothecary.
Nice. Excellent.
That's in big.
And one vote for Mr. Terrence Williams, original David's barber from the Providence Cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the barber.
Yep. Yeah, it's always fun when you have some of these odd professions tagging along. You're like, a barber? Yeah. Really? Okay. Why not?
Why are you here again? So in fourth place, we have a two-way tie, receiving two votes each. Apparently, the more popular of the gladiators from Scion of Vulcan, Decimus.
Really?
Okay. Yep.
That's funny. I would have thought it would have been Marcus.
Yeah, I would have expected to have been behind Flama because you said a lot more. Yeah, you survived and you actually spoke more. I was quiet for a lot of that.
You exploded.
I exploded. That part's pretty cool.
You died violently. That's always memorable.
True.
So just as a interesting aside, those two votes. I don't know that you could actually count it this way, but those two votes make Decimus the most popular character from Legacy of Aurus Urko. So there you go.
Wow.
But tied with him, two votes is a little surprising to me, given how popular the scenario Dark Side Dogs was.
Mm-hmm.
Only one character from that received any votes for favorite PC, and he got two votes to tie with Decimus for fourth place.
Hmm.
And it's not the character that I would have thought, because it's my own Mr. Silver.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think he was rather good.
Although again, I think probably the same thing applies. Shooting someone to do 1 point of damage and then having your gun jammed.
Yeah. You're likely to get more votes if something horrible happens to
you. Yes.
I really liked Dave's character in Dockside Dogs, Mr. Green. It was a lot of fun to listen to.
Done. Very well done.
Yeah, but that was a nice scenario. I liked it all around. It was has to be one of my favorites, to be honest. Overall.
Yeah. It was just so out there for Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, and it's like because it's, relatable completely. You know exactly what's going on. Well, kind of.
Well,
except for the whole reality bending part. But except for that,
minor detail.
They all live happily ever after with Hester. So
yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Okay, so favorite player character in third place, standing alone, with 3 votes from Seth W's Providence character, Mr. Jeffrey Radcliffe.
Ah, cool. See that. Very cool.
Yeah. His exchange with the Russian at the hospital it was great. Great role playing. I don't know if you remember that one.
I'm going to have to re-listen to some of these.
Yeah.
That's what I was just thinking. I don't remember that at all.
I know. It all blurs together. That's a problem with so many episodes.
Yeah.
These stories.
When I think of Mr. Radcliffe, I think of the very end of Mr. Corbett. When he crashed his car loaded with gasoline into the monster. And then the surprisingly lucky shot from Dr. Larson to blow it all up.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
So in second place, all by his lonesome, with 6 votes.
Wow.
Also from the Providence cycle, Mr. Frank Ballantyne, Ed's character.
Yeah, I could definitely
excellent.
See that.
Excellent.
Who ran off to join the mysterious Gamma Green organization.
Yeah. And in,
and in first place, all by himself, running away with 9 votes.
Wow.
Probably no surprise. Gunther, yes.
Yes.
Gunther. He introduced himself to everyone. Even if they already knew him.
Yeah, but Gunther was fun.
Who'd we lose?
Gary.
Yep, it's so trying to get him back.
It's 4 in the morning over there, isn't it?
3, around 3.
Yep. So anyway, that's, here you go. 100 episodes of Skype of Cthulhu.
100 more.
Yeah, I was going to say more like 1,000 more, but we can start with another
100.
How long will 1,000 take? How long did 100 take? Was that about 2 years?
Over 2 years. Just about 2 years and 2 months.
Yeah, almost weekly schedule, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So 1,000, okay, that would be what, 20, yeah, there you go, 20,
years.
30.
That's not too much.
Anyway. Of course, technically, this is actually, the 101st game, but there was the famous lost recording in there, so.
Oh, that's right. And it was a lot of
which
fun.
Which one was that again?
That was the one, 2 Sanity Shatter into Broadcast.
Yeah.
No, that was when we played Keith.
Yeah, it was an early scenario, and for whatever reason, I wasn't able to make it that week. So it was, Randall, it was you and Ed and David, right? Just the 3 of you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think David ran it. And I don't remember the name of the scenario, but I just keep thinking of it as Goonies.
Yeah, that's how he failed. Exactly.
you were all like 12-year-old kids. Yeah.
Yeah,
but then
I would totally be in on a Goonies Call of Cthulhu scenario. That would just be awesome.
Yeah,
dibs on data.
Yeah, Dave was doing the recording and he lost it at the end. So
yeah. Do you remember what scenario that was, Randall? Do you remember what it's called?
I don't recall right now, but I will put it in the notes because I know which one it was. I was actually looking for it because. It was really good. We should actually play it and re-record it.
That's why I was asking about it.
We should.
I'd like to get in on that too.
Yeah, I'm gonna look for it.
So and put it in the notes on the page.
Indeed.
Cool. So that's all I had. It's been fun. All
right.
Looking forward to the next 100.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
Like we're gonna be stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I wanted to thank you guys because 2-3 hours a week kind of make me gain some sanity from.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been great playing for so long.
Hello. You have to work tomorrow? Oh, dear.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't, of course. Cause,
this is like a double sanity blast for me this week.
Yeah.
I just played with
Easter weekend.
Mr. University as well.
Yep. Yes. And that one was every other weekend.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So
well, thanks,
we'll
guys.
Continue next weekend, I suppose.
Okay. So we finished up. So it was going to win, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
In a landslide.
Yes, because I think that... I think I got kicked out just as that was being announced.
Oh, right.
The suspense! The suspense!
Well, thank you very much. I stayed up till 3:25 a.m. So,
my goodness.
All right,
so
it's
time for me to crash. So, at least tomorrow is a public holiday here.
Yes,
indeed it is.
Yes.
That's
enjoy.
All right.
Have a good one, all. And see you next week for some more Wild Wild West.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, hopefully it's going to be better than Wild Wild West, because that movie was.
I think it's already better than that, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've already achieved that.
Yeah.
No, I'm all for steampunk mecha, but that was just poorly done.
It was All right.
Okay.
Have a good week, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Did it work?
Did you win?
Get close to the blob, see if it reacts to me being next to it.
As Mr. Gilroy approaches it, it detaches itself from the rest of the cathedral and lunges for Mr. Gilroy,
that didn't work.
Who may want to make a dodge roll.
I fell. This is 85.
The gelatinous mass sticks onto the side of Mr. Gilroy. You can see it kind of sucking at him.
I just wanted to do the magic.
As everyone else is standing around, you can hear a squelching sound as you see Mr. Gilroy take 32 points of damage.
Oh, God.
You can see his body is torn apart and sucked into the...
That is gross.
Mr. Rackley, if you're able to skirt around the blob without any problem. Dr. Larson and Mr. Eugen, as you're carrying Reverend Dubois between you, as you're trying to skirt around it, the blob suddenly lunges for you, but you're able to dodge out of the way. However, in doing so, Reverend Dubois, would you make a luck roll, please?
Yes, of course. I will make a luck roll. I failed my luck roll.
What is your size, Reverend Dubois?
Yeah, 14.
And Dr. Larson, what is your strength?
10.
As Mr. Eugen jumps out of the way of the blob, his lunge takes it past where Mr. Eugen jumped out of the way towards the Reverend Dubois, who suddenly stumbles. And Dr. Larson, you have a 30% chance to keep a hold of him.
Oh, 70.
The Reverend Dubois slips out of your hands and is grabbed by the blob.
I keep running.
A moment later, you hear a squelching sound as his body is torn apart.
I don't want to lose. I just keep running.
see her body being crushed. Blood starts spurting out, and then suddenly she screams again. You can see her body go rigid, and her arms go straight out from her, straight out perpendicular to her body, and her legs pop out perpendicular to her body, and you can hear a cracking sound as her pelvis cracks open. Oh, you can see her arms and legs being torn away from her body. Blood spurts out. There's another booming sound, and the building shakes. Dust falls. You see Ellie's body laying there, untouched, innocent, peaceful. And then she screams again, and you see boils start appearing on her face and all up and down her body, and pustules just kind of looks like balloons under her skin that are inflating and deflating. They start popping, and blood and gore and pus spurts all over. Ellie is laying there, untouched. She's unharmed, just looking. There's another booming sound. This one is really close. Dust falls from the ceiling. There's a huge roar from just outside. The building starts to shake.
Don't worry, guys. I just lost 3 points of sanity, so I'm okay.
As you look up, you can see the ceiling of the cathedral start to cave in. Massive stone blocks falling from the ceiling. Outside, you can see something. You can see this massive, dark shape pressing in on the cathedral. And the entire cathedral comes tumbling down on top of your heads. As you see the blocks start tumbling and the cathedral start tumbling in, and you're trying to jump out of the way and to not be crushed, you can see a massive stone block falls right on top of the altar and crushes Ellie under. You can just catch, out of the corner of your eye, you hear a woman scream, which is then quickly cut short as another large block falls and crushes on it. Eventually, the entire cathedral is just a pile of rubble.
I'm dead.
And as you're all lying there, buried in the rubble, you feel the ground shaking as something massively large moves past the cathedral further into the city.
You're hit. And you go stumbling.
All right, well, I will attempt to fall upon this thing that has attacked me and, you know, drive it to the ground.
That's an impale. It's a very sharp torch.
Alpha, you can attempt to dodge that. Oh, your dexterity now is 12.
No, I fail.
Oh, this small and lumpy thing has hit you with a torch. If you can hold it instant for another round, you might be able to set him on fire.
7 points of damage from smacking you with the torch, and then you're on fire for another 5 points of damage. I told you Gunther was the real hero.
This is the unluckiest werewolf in the world. Alfie, this thing has just hit you and set you on fire, standing right in front of you.
Oh, well, I freak out and I'll run right through him, and sort of maul him as I go. And
Gunther, you can try and dodge this horrible flailing beast.
No, I don't dodge.
Does he spray Gunther's blood, put out the flame?
So I grab the cross, run at Alfie, and Gunther try to jab the cross into his eye.
You hit him in the eye with a silver cross. Oh, punch damage.
Burning werewolf in the eye with a silver cross.
Total of 4.
Alright, so you smash your fist with the silver cross protruding between your fingers into his eye. And Alfie lets out a beast that was Alfie lets out a horrible scream, howl, and falls dead at your feet. Yeah, I'm going to punch him.
Make a roll.
25. That's a hit.
Okay.
I suppose I have a small chance of dodging as such.
Nope. Okay, that's 2 damage.
That, my friend, was a mistake.
Nope, that was a warning. No one tells me what to do.
This was a warning, and I'm going to shoot him. Damage, it's... wow, that's a big gun. 14 damage.
Yeah, I'm dead.
As Mr. Black goes for his gun, I go for mine to shoot Mr. Black. 24, yes. Yes, Andy.
Damage.
No.
What?
When he shoots me, I look really surprised, and I shoot him back. That's a 12
and a D10 is 9.
Oh, come on. So I shoot Mr. Black back. My gun has just malfunctioned. It's a 99.
I'm gonna shoot for 23, which is a pass. And that's D10. 8.
Yes, Mr. Silver falls to the ground with a stunned look on his face.
This is all worth it. I swear this is all going to be worth it.